Okay, Genesis chapter 20 of Genesis, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. This will be our discussion today. Someone read that for me. This is the third commandment. Chapter 20, verse 7. Okay. The Lord will not hold anyone guiltless. That means they're not guiltless and they're guilty. Okay, if they take their name in vain. Now I want to ask you a question. And we can just do a little poll here if we want to. What does that word in vain mean to you? What do we normally think of when we think about taking the Lord's name in vain? What's the first thing that pops into your mind? Cursing. Okay, normally, yeah, because that's just as common as it can be today. It has been for a long time, okay? But is that all that's implied? Is that all that's implied? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning, is the idea of taking the Lord's name in vain, okay? It's important for us to understand the sacredness of the name of God, okay? And it's not just God's name, but it's anything that we consider a sacred, okay? And so those things should be held up as being holy to us. All right, let's look at a couple of scriptures. Let's go over to Psalms chapter 111 and verse 9. Psalms 111 and verse 9. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so that's David's take on the name of Lord, of God. He said he's given us his covenant, and his covenant is forever, and holy is his name. That's the attitude we need to have in our life regarding everything that we do concerning the idea of God, and that involves our whole lives, okay? Okay, go over to Psalms chapter, I'm sorry, Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 5. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 5. Now, in this passage, the people have been in Babylonian captivity. They've been released. They released them in sections, and they're coming back to Jerusalem now. And so Nehemiah calls them together, and he gives them this statement. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 5. Someone have it? That don't sound like the right passage.
Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessings and prayers.
Okay, that was Nehemiah. See, they've been in Babylonian captivity, I think, for like maybe 70 years or something like that. It's almost like when they came out of Egypt after 400 something years. You know, things happen when you're in a idolatrous situation like that. And so they're coming back to Jerusalem now. And so Nehemiah is trying to re-emphasize upon them the importance of holding God as being holy. Okay? And then over in Psalms chapter 8 and verse 1, there's a psalm that we sing a lot of time. We have a song there. Psalms 8 and verse 1. Okay, so these verses emphasize to us the importance of placing God in his rightful place, okay? So if he's going to be in his rightful place in our lives and on his throne, then there should be a sense of reverence for that name, okay? Now let me ask you a question. We hear people say all the time, well, there's nothing in a name. Is that true? Is that true? Okay. We've got a little four-legged creature that we like to call man's best friend. What do we call that guy? What do we call him? Huh? A dog. Okay, a dog. And we could have called that critter anything we wanted to, couldn't we? Okay. And it wouldn't have mattered what we call him. But the idea is we call him a dog. Okay? And so he's been a dog for a long time. So when we reference a dog, then we know what we're talking about. Okay? These vehicles that we drive out here getting back and forth to church and running our errands, what do we call them? Cars or automobiles, okay. We could have called them anything we want to, but if somebody says a car or an automobile, we know what we're talking about, right? What I'm saying is that after a period of time, once we've used a name for so long, it takes on a specific meaning. A dog is a dog. A car is a car, okay. So yes, there is something in a name, okay. There's definitely something in a name. And so we don't want to think that a name is not important. Now, in Old Testament times, they used to change people's names. I think that was the culture of a lot of the native Indians too. You read some of their stories, and when especially an Indian boy was born, they would refer to him by a certain name, but that was not his name. Okay, but they were until he reached the age of about 14, and they took him out and went through a manhood trial. And then when he exemplified the type of person he was going to be, then the elders of that tribe would give him his name. Howling dog or barking moon or whatever they call him, you know. But they gave him that name according to their character, what they exemplified. You remember the story that was it Dancing with Wolves? They called him Dances with Wolves because they caught him out there dancing with a wolf, okay? So they would pick out something in their life, and then they would name their children after that. Then that became their name. Well, do we see examples of that in Old Testament history? Okay. Okay, Abraham. Okay, when Abraham came out of Ur of the Chaldees, and God said, I want you to leave your home and go to a place that I'm going to show you. Okay, what was his name? Abram. Okay. Anybody know what Abram means? It's something along the line of a godly father or something along that line, okay? And God changed his name to Abraham. Why did he change his name? Okay. You know what the word Abraham means? It means father of a multitude. What was the promise that God had given to Abraham? That through your seed, all the nations of the earth were going to be blessed. Yes, they had a meaning. That's exactly right. Sarai became Sarah. Okay. Jacob became Israel. Okay. Became Israel. Over in Matthew chapter 1, there was an angel of the Lord came to Joseph, Mary's husband. Okay. And at that time, Mary was pregnant with Jesus. And this angel came to Joseph and wanted to reassure him that this seed that Mary was carrying was a spiritual seed. Okay, and he said, Mary's going to give birth to a child, and you will call his name what? Jesus. Okay, what does the word Jesus mean? It means Savior. Okay, so you see, there's something to a name. Okay, and so you don't want people to call you certain things, do you? You don't want people to call you an idiot or a traitor. Or a lazy bum or things like that, because when they do that, you know, there's a character trait associated with those things. We don't name our children Judas or Benedict Arnold because, you know, there's something associated with those names, and we don't want that reflection to be upon our children. Okay, so there is something about a name, okay? And so that's one of the reasons why God was wanting these people to acknowledge that he was the God, the great I Am. Okay. Now, the Jews at this particular time, they got this all, leave it to them, misconstrued. Okay. Because they would not even pronounce the name of Jesus. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Yahweh was the name. And so they would not put any vowels in there because then it's impossible to pronounce it. They was put it YHWH. You can't pronounce that, okay? And the reason for that is because they would not pronounce the name of Jesus because they were of God, rather, because they were afraid of taking it in vain. Okay, what was wrong with that? What was wrong with that concept? It's just a name. It's just a name. And it's not the name. They were afraid they were going to mispronounce it, and then they would be profaning, okay? And that's how they construed that. They would not, no one, no Jew would ever use the word Yahweh except the high priest once a year on the Day of Atonement. That's the only time that name was pronounced. Okay. They would substitute names like Adonai, which means Lord, or Elohim, which means God. Okay. So when they would read the scripture, when it came to the word Yahweh, they would say Lord or God. Okay. Well, what's the difference between saying that and saying Yahweh? Okay. It's the same thing, right? So they misconstrued that. They were so carried away with it that when they wrote the name Yahweh, they would take their, I guess they had a quill then, I guess that's what it was, and they would wipe it clean, you know, of all the ink and start all over again before they would even write his name. That's how carried away they got with it. Well, it's not just the Jews. I'm told that Isaac Newton, he wasn't an inventor. What was he? Scientist, whatever. He's a guy with a knot on his head, I guess, from the apple falling on his head. Okay. It was said that he would not say the name God without taking his hat off. Okay. We're told of some other people that they would stop and pause before they would say the name God. Now, there's nothing wrong with giving reverence to God. And that was, I guess, their way of giving that reverence. But that ceremonialism is not what God was talking about. Okay, that's not what he had in mind. Okay.
It's so much better than people.
Well, yes, it is. And I would much rather them do what they do than what people do today a lot of times, you know. And so, but the ceremonialism is not what we're talking about. Okay. I tell you what, we find our youngsters today, little bitty tots. Okay. Using language that, we'd have got our mouths washed out with soap for. Okay. Where did they get that language? How did they learn those terms? All you gotta do is turn the television on. Yeah, well, they get it from family too. They get it from friends and siblings. It's all around them. Everybody's doing it. Okay. Yeah, they're doing that. Now, you know, that washing someone's mouth out with soap might have made an impression on them that that's not the right thing to do, but that's not what caused the problem, was it? Okay. It's not what caused the problem. We're told that the words that come from the heart, okay, and they had listened to other people. It was acceptable everywhere they went, so they just picked it up. So we can't really blame them for it because we have to instill within them some other sense of rightness and wrongness before they won't do those things. Somebody turn over to Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. Okay, so what comes out the mouth actually comes from what's in the heart, okay? So if we see those problems around us, we know that there's, you know, people have got some heart problems is what it amounts to. And those things are not acceptable to God. Okay, so what I want to do here this morning in our time this left is I want to talk about three things that are forbidden by this commandment, okay? Ways that we can profane the name of God. And the first one I want to talk about is the idea of oaths. Okay? Too many times we use God's name to take an oath. Very frivolously. Okay? We might say things like, I'll be there by God. Wait a minute. You know, why would you want to drag God's name into this oath there? That's a very frivolous oath, okay? I don't know, we might say something like, heaven is my witness, I'll be there. Okay. You know, this is what I'm talking about, some of these sacred things, not just necessarily God's name. But these are what we call frivolous oaths. Okay? Frivolous oaths. And we should not incorporate God's name or heaven's name or any other, sacred thing by taking these oaths. Okay, if you go over to Matthew chapter, I believe it's chapter 13, I'm not sure. Jesus was talking about the idea of oaths. And sometimes we get the idea that every oath is wrong. Okay, and that's not what Jesus was teaching them over there. Okay, we had a problem with the Pharisees, and that was the fact that they would just swear on anything. They would swear by God. They would swear by the temple. They would swear by just anything with no intention whatsoever of keeping those oaths. Okay? Now, God is teaching us over there that, you know, there's a serious involved with any oath. Whether, what is an oath? If you take an oath, what does that mean? Well, it's a promise. That's what it means. I'm going to do this, okay? And then we will swear that by an oath. Now, let me tell you something. God takes those things very, very seriously, okay? And we don't have to swear by heaven or by God in order for Him to take it seriously. If we promise somebody we're going to do something, you better do it, okay? Especially if you take an oath, okay? Now, let's just bring this down to a personal example here. A man and a woman get married. What do? Why do we have a marriage ceremony? What's it for? Huh? They're taking an oath. What are they doing? What kind of oath are they taking? Okay. They're going to say, I'm going to be loyal and fidelity towards this person that I'm taking for my husband or my wife. Now, here's the situation. Almost every time there'll be a preacher or whoever's up there will say, we're gathered here today in the presence of God and these witnesses to witness this ceremony. Okay, have they not taken an oath? I mean, are they not taking an oath when they do that? And they say, repeat after me. I take thee to be my loved wedded wife or husband and to honor and cherish and obey and all these things. And they're taking an oath. Okay? People don't take that seriously today. We don't take that seriously. God is going to hold us responsible for those oaths that we take. If you take an oath, you better fulfill your oath. Okay? That same thing goes towards signing your paper for maybe to borrow some money, and you put your name on there and say, I'm going to pay this back. You better pay it back. Okay? Now, there might be circumstances that come up that might, you know, hinder you getting it paid back when you should or whatever. We understand those things, but the idea is you need to do what you say you're going to do. God takes that very, very seriously. Okay. So what Jesus was saying over there in Matthew chapter 13, he says, why do you need to even take an oath? You know, you're not planning on fulfilling it in the first place. And what those Jews thought was they could swear as long as they didn't swear by God, if they swore by the temple or by anything else like that, as long as they didn't use the name God, they didn't have to keep that oath. that's how they did things. Okay? So it's very important for us to remember that if you take an oath, you better keep it. Now, the question automatically arises, that being the case, then why would we take an oath? Why would you take an oath?
Well, because somebody may not know you.
Okay.
Like in a court of law.
Okay.
They may not know you, and they want to make sure that you're going to tell the truth.
Okay. All right. That's what it amounts to. All right. And when you don't even have to place your hand on that Bible and say, you know, I solemnly swear to tell the truth. The idea is if you're going to serve as a witness, you had better tell the truth. Okay. But if you do place your hand on that Bible, you know, who are you swearing to? Are you swearing to the judge and to the courtroom that you're going to tell the truth? Well, yes, but who else are you swearing to? You're just taking an oath to God that you're going to tell the truth. So, therefore, a religious oath or a judicial oath, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay? Jesus took an oath. Did you know that? Over in Acts chapter, it's not Acts, where is it? Matthew. Let me get to it here now. Matthew chapter 26. This is when the it was the high priest. Who was the high priest? Yeah, Caiaphas. I want to say Cassius, but it's Caiaphas. They had Jesus there and they had arrested him. Okay, and Caiaphas asked him a question. Okay, somebody got it there? Verses. I know it's here. Where is it? Where did I write it down? There it is. 23 and 24. Chapter 26, 23 and 24.
This is not it. This is a dipping in
Now, I double-checked all my passages this time so I wouldn't write the wrong one down. Where's it at? 57? Okay, maybe it's, okay. If you find it there, read it for me. This is where Caiaphas was questioning Jesus, asking him, are you, and he asked him to swear that he was the Son of God.
64 says, Jesus said to him, it is as you said, nevertheless I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting.
Okay, all right, go back and read the verse before that. This is where Caiaphas questioning. Okay. He said, I'm putting you under an oath, Jesus. Tell us if you are the Son of God. All right. What was Jesus' answer? What?
As you said.
See? So he was answering to that oath. Okay. So he took an oath. So if Jesus took an oath, then would it be wrong for us to take an oath? No, but we better be very careful about the oaths that we take. Paul took an oath. Okay. If you go over to Galatians, let me see if I got this one written down here. Yeah, there it is. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 20. He did this on three different occasions. Galatians 1 and 20, 2 Colossians, or Corinthians 1 and 23, and Philippians 1 and 8. Let's just read one of them. Galatians 1 and 20. He says the same thing in all of these.
Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not.
Okay. And so he's as much as saying, I swear that what I'm telling you is true. Behold God. Okay. And he used God as his witness here, okay? So taking an oath is not a sin, okay? And that's a misconstruing of Matthew chapter 13 when we talk about Jesus said, don't take oaths. The reason he was saying don't take an oath was because they weren't intending on keeping those oaths anyway. He said, if you don't intend on keeping them, then don't do it, okay? But if you do, do what you say you're going to do, okay? So God takes oaths very seriously, all right? And if we use God's name or some sacred thing to swear by, okay, and then we don't do what we say, we're taking God's name in vain. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, so it's not just the profanity, it's the using of God's name in any way that would bring reproach upon him. Okay, because we're saying, I swear by God's name, and then, you know, how's somebody who's not a believer, how are they going to respond to that when we don't do what we say we're going to do? Yeah. They're not going to think too highly of us, are we? Go back to Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 12. Leviticus 19, verse 12.
Do not swear false by my name, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord.
Okay. So, don't swear false oaths. Okay. Be intent that you're going to do exactly what you say. Promises and oaths are sacred things as far as God is concerned. And you better do what you say you're going to do. If you don't have any intention of doing it, don't say so. Because God will hold you accountable for those things. And that's especially true of a Christian. Okay. What kind of a name are you giving to Christians if you swear by God that you're going to do something and then you don't fulfill your vow? What does that say to those out there in the world? Yeah. Well, their religion don't mean anything to them. Okay. Yeah, hypocrite. And we're going to talk about that here in just a minute too. Okay? All right. So just remember that oaths are promises and those are sacred things. Okay. One more passage. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 16. Okay, so if you swear, that should be the end. Why is it that years ago you could do business on a handshake and you can't do that now, can you? You just can't do it. Why not? You got it right. And so now what you're basically saying is I'm not going to take your word for anything. You put your name right here on this piece of paper, you know, and then I've got something I can take before the judge, you know, and there's no say-so about it, okay? It's a shame that it's come down to that, isn't it? It really is a shame. But that should not be so with Christians. I mean, don't worry about it if somebody says, you better put your name on that contract because you're going to have to do it, okay? But whether you did or not do that, you still should keep your word, right? Do what you say you're going to do. That's how people tell the difference between somebody in the world and somebody in Christ. Okay? Okay, that's the first thing. All right. The second thing I want to talk about here is the idea of basically irreverence towards God in the things that the way we use His name. Okay? You know, one of the things that bothers me so bad is we like to watch these home improvement shows, you know, stuff like that, and they're always remodeling these houses. And when they do these big reveals, these people walk into these houses, what's the first thing you hear them say? Oh, my God. Why are we bringing God into this? Now, I'm going to be the first to admit, I catch myself doing that sometimes, and I think the reason why is because it's so common, okay? But every time I catch myself doing it, I want to go, you know, shame on you. You shouldn't. Yeah. Wash your mouth out with soap or something, you know. And that bothers me so bad. But, you know, something that we do also is that when bad things happen to us, okay, maybe we lose our health or we lose a family member or, you know, just bad things happen. We blame God for it. We want to blame God for all the bad things in life. Remember Job? Job's wife? You know, all those bad things happened to Job. And Job didn't understand what was going on, but he wasn't going to blame God. And what did his wife tell him? Yeah, just go ahead and curse God and die. Get it over with, Job. I mean, and Job was saying, I haven't done anything wrong, you know. And he's got these three friends out there pounding him and telling him, you know, Job, you must have sinned. You know, that's what happens. God punishes you when you sin, so you had to have sinned, you know. And he was saying, I didn't do it, you know. But normally, that's what we do when bad things happen, is that we want to blame God. Okay? Now, sometimes we don't even know we're doing it. Okay, I hear so many people saying this, and it's so common. But you walk up on something that maybe a kid has done or somebody else has done, you know, that didn't meet with your approval, and what do you say? Oh my God! Yeah. Okay, you're blaming God for what's going on. Okay, you may not realize it. That's what you're doing. Okay, or maybe even you pull up the scene of an accident, a real accident. Okay, and you run up there, you know, and we say something like, Jesus, what's going on here? You know? So, what are we doing when we're doing that? It's irreverent. And we really don't even think anything about it. Okay, we just think that... you know, that's what everybody else says, and it's so natural that we just do it. Okay, we need to get that ingrained in our mind that that's not acceptable to God. Yeah, we are. Yeah, and it's hard not to do it. It's hard not to do it. We have to make ourselves a mental note, you know, and teach ourselves that I'm not going to do this anymore. Okay, because we don't attach God's name to anything like that. That's taking His name in vain. Okay. Now, that being said, I want to talk a little about something else. Something that we all do. Okay. All of us do it. Okay. You know what a euphemism is? A euphemism? What is a euphemism? When you what?
A word or description.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not going to say the bad word, but we're going to substitute something else for it. A euphemism? Don't you? Is this a spelling test or something? Huh? EU, euphemism. Look it up, it's in the dictionary. Yeah, It's a E-U-P-H-A-M-I-S-M, I believe is correct. E-U-P-H, euphemism. It's substituting one word for another. Okay, can you give me an example of a euphemism? Yeah, golly. Okay, golly. We're not saying God's name, but we substituted that for it. Golly. What's the word? Okay, all right. You know what they mean by that, right? But we're not going to say the bad word. We're just going to say this one, and it means the same thing. Yeah. Yeah. It's the same thing, okay?
Gosh?
Yeah, those things. I don't know about that. I guess goodness could be, but I don't, well, it could, but, how about things like, gall darn? You ever heard people use that word? Golly, gee, those kind of words. Those are euphemisms, okay? And what we're trying to do, we're trying to soothe our conscience by not saying, you know, God, when actually we are, okay? But in our conscience, I didn't say it. I didn't say it. I'm okay. You know, but we're not. We need to be very careful about those things.
Well, Mom used to make Jan say different words because Jan was just whatever somebody said. So she said, instead of that, place that word, she's banana. And she's got banana. But then, I'm not sure that's a, is that considered a euphemism? I don't know.
You're going to ask me to... Technically it is. Technically it is, but I'm not gonna judge my mom-in-law. Okay. We have a bad habit of doing that. Okay. We use words that we should not use. Okay. I'm just trying to make us aware of those things, and I want us to think about those things, you know, next week. In fact, if you catch yourself doing it, you know, remember what we're talking about here. But it's very easy to do. There are so many terms that are being used today that it just it blows your mind, really. Okay, and that is taking God's name in vain, because all we're doing is we're substituting another word for what we mean. Okay, I thought I had a passage of scripture there, but I don't see it. So, okay, all right. The third thing we want to talk about is hypocrisy. Okay, hypocrisy. All right. When you become a Christian, whose name are you wearing? You're wearing the name of Christ. Okay, you're baptized into Christ. Okay, and you become a Christian. Okay, so if you come here and wear the name Christian, and then you leave here and you don't practice Christianity, what do we call that? Hypocrisy. Yeah, you're play acting. Hypocrisy. Okay, that's what we say a lot of times. Why? You know, we tend to come and check our little, you know, box, say, I was there, you know, but it doesn't mean anything to us, okay? The word Christian means what? Christ-like, okay? And so if you're going to commit yourself to Christ and you're going to be baptized into His name, then you are taking on God's name. And so that puts a responsibility on you to live the way that God wants you to live. Okay? Go over to Matthew chapter 23. Read verses 23 through 26. This is, Jesus had the most scathing condemnation for the Pharisees because he said, you're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. Okay? So go over there and read what he has to say to them about that. 23 through 26.
Outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of extortion and self-indulgence.
Well, that's a kind of a scathing report, isn't it? Looks good on the outside, doesn't it? Well, they walked around with their pious, you know, attitude, and, you know, when they prayed, they stand on the street corner and raise their hands so everybody could see them, you know, all those kind of things. And God said, shame on you. Shame on you. That's what you look like on the outside, but inside, what are you? Yeah. They talk about a dish. A dish looks nice on the outside, but look inside. It's still, ooh, you know, it's all dirty and everything. Or the whitewashed tomb. Well, boy, hey, yeah, all right, that's a nice looking tomb there, baby. What's on the inside, though? Bunch of bones. Bunch of bones. And he said, that's what you are. That's exactly what you are for what you've done. Okay, time we got left here. I want to go to Acts chapter 19. There's a story over there that's told about seven sons of, I pronounce his name is Sceva. Okay. Now what this is about is that Paul and Peter and these guys were over there. They were casting out demons and healing people and everything. And these sons of Sceva there, they went in, okay, and they were saying to these people that were going to cast out these demons, they're saying, in the name of the God of Peter and Paul, I command you to come out. Okay? What was wrong with that? What was wrong with that?
They did not know
They had no idea who that God was at all, okay? They attached something mystical to that name. And they got it in their head that if we'll use that name, we can cast out these demons. Okay? And so they went in there in front of these demons. Okay? And they said, in the name of the God of Paul and Peter, we command you to come out. Okay? And you see there what those demons said to them? They said, Peter we know. And Paul we know. But who are you? You remember what they did? Anybody remember what they did? They jumped on them. Yeah, they came out and jumped on them, and it said they ripped them from head to toe, you know, tore their clothes off of them. These guys are running down the streets, you know, hollering and screaming. Well, what's that story in there for? Why do we have that recorded for us? There's got to be something more than just the name, okay? They're attaching something mystical, something magic to this name, thinking they can just use it. Okay. Remember the story about the Ark of the Covenant? Did we talk about that last week? Remember they were losing the battle to who was them guys over there? Yeah, the Philistines. I want to say Phoenicians. This is where they were from, but the Philistines. They were losing that battle. Okay. And somebody came up with a bright idea. Hey, let's go back and get the Ark. And if we bring that Ark down here, that'll give us power. Okay. And so they did. They got it down there and marched it down in front of them. And what happened? They lost the battle and the Philistines stole the ark. Okay? Okay. What was wrong with their attitude? What were they doing? They were attaching some mystical power to an object. Okay? They thought the ark held the power when it was God that held the power. Okay? And so they lost the ark. Now, here again, let's not forget this now. When those Philistines had it down there in Gath, I believe that's where they took it, okay, what happened to those people down there? Yeah, they started getting sick, okay, and they started dying. And they said, hey, we better get this thing out of here. We're going to all die, okay. So they set it up on a cart pulled by cows, and they just shoot them and said, get out of here, and it went off down the road, okay. So we're not saying that there was not something associated to that ark, but it was not the ark itself. Who was doing all that? That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That glory belongs to God. It's not the name, it's God. Okay. But that is God's name, and we do not want to take it in vain. The same applied to the ark. It wasn't the ark, but it was God working through that ark. Okay. That did what he said to do. So we need to understand that anytime we talk about anything sacred, what I mean by sacred, anything pertaining to God, okay, any of those things, God, Jesus, all those things, we're talking about anything sacred, do not take the name in vain, okay? If you make a promise to somebody, you keep that promise. You say you're going to do something, do it, Okay. If you have a problem with your vocabulary, and I'll be the first to admit, I've told you already, I've catch myself using those words sometimes, those euphemisms that we talk about. If we catch ourselves doing that, let's work on changing those things and not do those anymore. Okay. Because, we're profaning God's name when we do that. And that's what God was talking about in that commandment. Okay. He was not talking about just cursing. That is what he's talking about. But it goes beyond that. It goes to the heart of the matter. We need to be what we're supposed to be. We're wearing the name Christian. We need to be Christians. Okay. We need to live the way that God wants us to live. Okay. Talk like God wants us to talk. Act like God wants us to act. Okay. Otherwise, we're profaning God. Okay. And that's what that commandment's all about. We've got a couple of minutes left. How about that? Anybody want to add anything here? Anybody have any comments? Questions? Must have done a good job. Okay. Okay. All right. Appreciate your time.